Welcome to the home of fantasy football's hot stove. It's the all-purpose Roto Fantasy Football Show. Let's go.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Hot Stove. We come to you every Saturday morning, Chris. Every Saturday morning we try for all year long, where Chris and Bob give you guys all the different spin on the week's news, updates, signings, trades, injuries. Hey, a little workout notes. Hey, blunders, quotes, whatever. And Chris's favorite, the Beat City reporters that he follows and talks to. Check us out at allpurposeroto.com. On the web or email Bob or Chris at allpurposeroto.com. Thanks for subscribing to us, folks. Thanks for downloading. Keep that coming. Hit that subscribe button on your feed. Give us a review, please. That feeds our rankings. Chris, let's get to it. By the way, 32 days to the draft.
Yeah, and free agency, still some nice signings out there. I was shocked that it took Nick Fairley this long to get signed, going to the Saints, almost went to the Patriots, but there's still guys out there, man, and you know we have Alfred Morse, the Cowboys. There's still all kinds of good stuff happening, and we can talk about that in a second. But I thought that maybe the most interesting news, just because of how much I like this team this year, is that Latavius Murray not exactly getting a commitment from Jack Del Rio and the Raiders, saying that they're looking to add someone to the backfield.
Yeah, it's not an overwhelming vote of confidence. Of course, the NFL, you know, you just got to have a two or three back monster nail. I think everyone believes you're just not going to get through the year unscathed. But you know, they've been rumored to be shopping. They never really got behind this guy. And, you know, considering where the Raiders came from, he's been a heck of a player for him. Not unlike what's going on with Jay Ajayi, the unproven rookie. They're not really getting behind him either. So do you think if they sign, just say, a decent veteran, are you worried where you're keeping Murray in your dynasty league or where you're ranking him right now?
Well, I'm not really worried about any of the veterans that are left at this point. But if they draft someone in, say, the fourth round or above, I think that's a real problem.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's particularly a speed back.
That's
what I'd be worried about.
He was, I believe, I'm trying to look it up, but I believe he was a sixth round pick. So it's not like they have a lot invested in the guy either.
Oh, no.
So anything they get from him is gravy at this point. But he's a guy who I'm very worried about in 2016 initially, you know. When they sign Asimile and they bring Penn back, and it looks like their offensive line is just going to be much better than last year, and it was pretty good last year. I was excited for him, but they have not endorsed him in any shape or form. So
I think they realize he is not an electric playmaker, even though he had a couple of big plays. I think they look at Derek Carr, Cooper, Crabtree. They want some speed and juice, man. I bet they love watching Deion Lewis do work.
Well, I mean, anyone could have had him last year, but I don't think that there's a Deion Lewis available at this point.
Well, you know, with that type of back, though, I mean, he just creates problems for your defenses, and I think it helps your quarterback and wide receiver. So, yeah, I'm with you. I was conservative on Murray last year, missed him on most teams, and I'll be even worse this year.
So, I mean, they could go Ronnie Hillman at this point. They could do looking at the guys who are available. Steven Jackson? Would you like some Steven Jackson?
No, that would be great for Latavius Murray. That's great news.
I mean, there's not a lot of just at the quick list that I'm looking at. I mean, I guess Reggie Bush would probably be the best receiving back that's on the market right now.
I think it's a post-draft casualty. That's what I think.
Arian Foster might be interesting.
He could be very interesting, actually. That's a scary signing for anyone who likes Latavius Murray.
Yeah. So we'll see. Alfred Morris, I mentioned going to the Cowboys. I just wanted to hit on it again quick that
sure.
I think that this is how high is too high for Alfred Morris now that he went to the Cowboys?
I think it's hilarious to watch the debate go between there's two camps, you know, yep. Big time. Yeah, he's following McFadden, and there's other camps like, are you kidding? This guy's a healthy tank. He's not a 80 catch guy, but he's the best back on that team by far. I think given what goes on with Romo's career and this offense, I think you're going to end up seeing a lot more of Alfred Morris than you are Darren McFadden.
I mean, I understand that Alfred Morris, or excuse me, that Darren McFadden had a decent season last year. Darren McFadden's best year is pretty much Alfred Morris's average in Washington.
Yeah.
This was the worst year he's had in his career, and he was the number – he had completely secured the number one running back position for those last 3 to 4 weeks. It was it was all him. This is far and away the best offensive line he's ever played behind. I don't see – I just don't see how he doesn't run for over 1,000 yards this year.
I agree. His rushing yardage will be great. His PPR yardage will hurt a bit. I hope the hype doesn't get big on him. We're doing a lot of mocks with Bruce Kimbrough and all his followers at Fat Cat right now. And you know, the running back pushback is still very heavy.
Yeah.
There's good running backs falling really late. And certainly this is a guy you're going to get late and definitely should be on your radar if you're doing running back zero. No, this is just a great like mid-round pick right now.
So let's say that more people come around to our thinking and kind of realize that that this is the guy, that Alfred Morris is the guy for Dallas. Where is the highest round that you're comfortable with drafting him? The fourth, the third?
Definitely, it's for sure the fourth, and potentially the third, as crazy as it sounds. I mean, this guy has had, you know, his first year, he had double-digit touchdowns. I know that. In the last 2 years, I know he was about eight.
Yeah.
So it was just last year, 2015, they went away from him. So he's a four-yard carry back. He's a hard-running, hard-working, non-troublemaker. Only his fifth year, not a lot of mileage. There's a lot to like with that Dallas team. And I think he's going to do a better job keeping Tony Romo safe than Darren McFadden.
He's only 27.
Yeah.
He's only 27. That's insane. So he's got plenty of time left. I barring injury, I don't see how he isn't a very good option for them. Jameis Winston, I thought it was interesting that he's trying to change his body type. So meaning he's losing weight and adding muscle. Didn't really detail how he plans on going about doing that, but noted that he is definitely trying to do that, which, you know, Ben Roethlisberger kind of did, but that's the quarterback who Winston keeps on getting compared to. But Roethlisberger never really totally committed to just having muscle on his body and losing some weight. He's always been that kind of bigger quarterback. But what do you think of this from Winston?
I think it's good news. The arrow still points up on this Tampa Bay team with Dirk Koetter. They're trying to put together some continuity on this offense, some superstars at wide receiver, up-and-coming tight end we keep talking about. They brought back Doug Martin. I like some of their free agent signings. And quarterback is serious. I mean, we've talked about
I think we can squeeze.
Roll.
I think we can squeeze.
What's that?
I think we can squeeze one more year out of Vincent Jackson here, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, exactly. And I think Winston is, if you have a cerebral quarterback who works hard, who wants to be a leader, and then wants to understand the fact that, hey, this is such a hard job, the hits I'm going to take. If I have a body that can take this hit, and he was talking about Russell Wilson and the quotes you were talking about, I think he's spot on, and I'm happy for the NFL. I'm not a huge Winston fan, but I'm happy for great quarterbacks. So I think this is great for Tampa Bay, and I think this is great for Mike Evans, who I love.
Yeah. One thing with Mike Evans is Dirk Koetter said that he thinks that his drops had more to do with preparation, mental preparation.
Interesting.
So that's, you know, the thing that I only just realized about Mike Evans is that he has not just, he's not turned 23 yet, or either that or he just turned 23. Let me look. He is insanely young. So, he's either 23 or he is about to turn 23. So he's pretty young. He's still figuring this thing out. And to your point, I think he's going to be pretty good this year.
Yeah, I think he's fine. Back to Morse, 1,600 yards that rookie year, 2,000-yard seasons with 4 yards a carry. His touchdown totals were 13, 7, and 8 on a pretty dysfunctional Redskin outfit, by the way.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're all excited about the scouting combine and everything. Just love this. One of the quotes I saw about him from a very famous draftnik: won't be much more than a thumper. Some question if he'll make a roster.
Yeah, I think I was reading through Twitter, and I think Matt Waldman actually really liked him coming out. He's pretty high on the Cowboys getting him, if I remember correctly.
All right.
Which this time of year, if you're not following Matt Waldman and you're on Twitter, you should check him out. He's fun to follow during the draft season. Robert Griffin III going to the Browns. Lots of talk about what was promised to Robert Griffin, what wasn't promised to Robert Griffin, how much Hugh Jackson loves him, how he thinks he can be a reclamation project. I don't know why some people in the media like this Browns organization as much as they do, because the Jimmy Haslam go get him nonsense, yep, like how that was painted. I don't understand. But Robert Griffin III, is this it? Is this the end?
Is this the end? That's terrible. So we're on top opposite end of the spectrum. That's great. I dislike Cleveland too. I shouldn't say that. I am not fond of how the organization has been working. I continue to pull for them because we have some of our best subscribers there.
It's true. It's true.
But talk about fans. I mean, you just don't even see their fans throw in their players very often. They get behind whoever it is, even though they can't stand them. But RG3, I love this. I'm not excited about this team trying to get a magic pill with a quarterback this year in the draft. I think once they've gone RG3, I think they're the team that does trade out of that spot and give up that quarterback spot for someone else again, because they need picks. They need talent. They are hurting bad. And I look at RG3 and I'm like, look, just a couple reminders here. He was also with an incredibly disorganized franchise that was terrible at managing his maturity, his learning curve, what he did. This is a rookie who came into a terrible team, who put together a 4,000-yard season when rookie quarterbacks weren't doing that. He scored 22, 25 touchdowns his rookie year, and then still threw for over 3,000 yards his second year, then got hurt, and we know the rest. So I love this signing. I think it's a good idea, and I think the Browns have to take – they got a new GM.
The thing,
so let's give them 3 years, and I mean, I hope they get three picks, Chris.
The thing that worries me with the Browns is, number one, letting your top five free agents go with literally no fight whatsoever. And I understand
they weren't going to stop them.
I understand that. Well, they weren't going to stop them because those guys couldn't wait to get out of there because of how crazy the front office is.
They were gone. Yep.
But the Mitchell Schwartz thing, where they weren't negotiating in good faith, I think is still pretty concerning about the front office. I don't think that's good. He wasn't going to sign there or whatever, but the fact that they were negotiating with him and then just on a whim pulled the offer, there's something still going on there. I don't like it. I think that there were a few other organizations where he could have gone that I think he really could have rehabbed his value and had a much longer career, but I haven't seen anything, unfortunately, from Cleveland this offseason that really gives me a whole lot of faith that things are on the up there.
I've got two other things.
Okay.
I do. Okay, one, Hugh Jackson, I like it. That guy has been also in bad situations, and you've never seen him ruffled. You can talk about how high he performs as a head coach. That's certainly a good debate. But he was really good for Cincinnati. He helped that team a lot. So I like Hugh Jackson. And my favorite stat for the Cleveland Browns is this one. 87-1646-9. That's Josh Gordon. That's when we had Josh Gordon. 87 catches, 1,600 yards, almost 10 touchdowns. Come on, baby. RG3 and Josh Gordon, that's some fun NFL football, Chris.
I mean, it hypothetically could be if
be positive. Come on. This cold is killing you. This cold's killing you. Be positive. 87-1646. That's fun.
I want to know what is your process for injury prone players? Do you take a
totally judgmental?
Do you take a can of whipped cream and just pull a whippet and whatever the first thing that comes to your mind about the injured player, is that the way you go? Because some injury prone players are just done with. You hate them.
Yes, it's true. I can tell you. I'll give you a true statement. If you're a player who I printed a picture of you, posted you on the board here in my studio, and there's some dart holes in your picture, you're an injury prone player.
I don't know how players get on your kill list or get off your kill list, but it's
a very complicated matrix with a lot of logarithms and a lot of statistics and a lot of analysis and two computers that run full time on it.
I guess. Okay.
All right. Josh Gordon, 87-1646. Mm-hmm. Come on, Roger Goodell. Come on, man.
Roger Goodell? I don't think Roger Goodell's
throwing. I'm having him represent
RG3.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Roger Goodell's got to reinstate him, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm pulling for now. I'm pulling for the commissioner for the first time. We should talk about those new rules once you get around to
so
it.
So ridiculous. I feel bad for Josh Gordon for what he went through last year, and Martavis Bryant too. And
both of them.
It's just so
Bryant's got, but Bryant needs
so stupid.
Yeah, Bryant, you're right. The suspensions related to the drug, I agree, is something to talk about. But I think he's also at a point where I'm happy that this should be an opportunity for him to kind of get himself back together for a great life, not just a great NFL season. He's come out and said that, and I agree with that. That's great. Well, get some time. You've got time. You're young. Don't worry about it. Martavis Bryant,
you've been diagnosed with clinical depression. So what we need to do is shoot you up with other drugs. You're taking
that illegal that costs money.
You're taking the wrong drug. So
but come on. I mean,
here's a year suspension while you figure that out. It's great.
Yeah, I'm sure. There's
it's a great system.
And if he wants it, he will get help. Yeah. And he'll make good money. Come on, think about it, man. Everyone gets we just go crazy. So Michael Vick, I mean, that's an example. You can love him, you can hate him, but one thing you can say, you know, the guy lost everything. You can say what he did was terrible. You can say you didn't think it was terrible, but he came back, and that takes resolve. And you know, your career's not over. One bad thing, just like in personal life too. So, now Martavius, I'm hoping he has a great year off, comes back like an animal, man, and he can do it. He's tremendously talented, and he's going to get – if he wants people to help him and he lets the right people help him, he's going to be great, be a great player, and I'm pulling for him. And the same for Josh Gordon. You know, I really do. I literally pray, because he's such a fun player to watch, that guy had a great year off, didn't get in any more trouble, and has got his thing under control that – conforms to the current illusion of what's right.
It's an interesting caveat. I mean, it's the league is more fun if both those guys are playing.
Yeah, exactly.
Line. So
that's cool.
So hopefully everything's all right. Jonathan Cooper, Bruce Arians said at the coaches meetings this past week that he wasn't just a throw-in, and that they still really liked him, and that they think that he's going to be a hell of a player for the Patriots.
Yeah, I think this deal is awesome for the Patriots. I think it fits an exact need. I talked about this in the show with Farrell Tuesday, I think it was, and I love this deal for the Patriots. I mean, Chandler Jones is one of my favorite players in the NFL. I also love this deal for the Cardinals, so I think this is a great deal. What do you think of it?
I think that the Patriots saw what Olivier Vernon got from the Giants and just knew that they couldn't re-sign Chandler Jones and keep that defense the way that it is. And, you know, love Chandler Jones, good two-way player against both the run and the pass. But Jamie Collins is more important to that defense. And if you're going to give one of those two players that type of money, I think it's more important that Jamie Collins gets that money. He's more important in the overall scheme. And I think that ensuring that he's with the team for the next 5 years is more important than Chandler Jones, as great as Chandler Jones has been. Cause I love Chandler Jones. I think he's going to be great with the Cardinals this year. I think it takes that defense to a whole other level. Him and Calais Campbell are going to be a problem for opposing teams. It's going to be tough. So, I think it was good for both teams. Actually, I think it was good for the Cardinals to go for it. I think it was good for the Patriots to reload a little bit. So rare time when I think a trade benefits both teams.
Yep, agreed.
Colin Kaepernick, still a 49er. Chip Kelly saying they're not going to cut him. Jets aren't super interested in him. I think that this is the best possible thing that could happen to Colin Kaepernick, is to not leave Chip Kelly. I'm not sure where you're on board with it at this point, but there's a lot of teams that were interested in Colin.
No, I've got to get a soundbite for you. Play on our show from Farrell with Tuesday, because we asked about advice. We did the NFC quick summary free agency review with the some of the KFFSE experts, and I asked him about the Niners, and I said, "So, what's your advice on this? Since, you know, what do you think is going to happen here?" And he was just quote, "Stay away." But with you, I think this is probably the best thing for Colin. You got to trying to get something positive going. I think the player that's interesting on this course is Carlo. I think there's big possibilities for that guy.
Yeah, so
he can stay healthy. He stays healthy. He's dangerous.
Yeah, so Carlos Hyde, he's going to lose about 15 pounds this offseason, apparently, because he's trying to get ready for the fast pace of Chip Kelly's offense, so he can stay out on the field a little bit longer and actually score touchdowns instead of just.
Collins' athleticism, a healthy and fit Carlos Hyde. I know this team is taking tremendous punches. And to borrow on your strategy, you're talking two players that the bulk of fan players that you're going to go against, people are down on that team. So you might get some really great value in those two players.
Yep. I would agree that, you know, Kaepernick has a low end quarterback too, I think still has good value. And Carlos Hyde, where he's going to go in the second round, or Alfred Morris? Just asking you, which one would you rather have?
If I think I'd go to Hyde, clear cut, definitely going to get touches.
Okay.
Jerry Jones might, you know, call down to the booth and say, call down to the sideline and say, I need Darren in there, man. You got to have a play. Come on.
So you'd rather have Carlos Hyde in the second round than Morris in, say, the fifth round?
Oh, no, I'd rather have Morris in the fifth. Yeah, okay. That's much better.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
How about you?
I think I'd rather have Hyde, but that's fine. I can see it either way. I think it's close.
There's no wide receiver in the second. I mean, there's no running back in the second. I'd rather probably.
This next guy I can see is going to be super frustrating for people, and I think he's going to be great in certain daily situations. This is Nate Washington, man, is a guy who has been pretty solid in stretches for both the Titans and the Texans, and he signed with the Patriots. Getting a little old. He's just turning 33, but at the same time, this is a guy, he's an NFL caliber wide receiver.
He's a big time NFL caliber wide receiver, and talk about some of the quarterbacks he's played with, Chris. So I agree. This is one of those sneaky, quiet signings that among two or three of them, along with Chris Hogan, that they signed a guy who doesn't have much nor near the pedigree or experience, but still those two players could be very sneaky with Nate Washington, that quarterback play. You know, he's had 70 catches, I think, with crappy.
Yeah.
And fed that 800 to 1,000 yard mark. I think he's a great sign. He's a big guy, too, right? 6'6 something.
I think 6'3. I think it's a good one. And like I said, in daily situations, I think that he could be pretty nice. Let me ask you a question, Bob. How many surgeries has Dez Bryant had this offseason?
This offseason or total?
This offseason, since the season ended.
I would say Dez Bryant's probably had two.
Yeah, and on what body part?
On his foot again, of course.
Yeah, that's not good. I don't like that one bit.
Yeah, I drafted him only one time in one league, and of course that hurt me. And I'm going to keep going with that strategy because I love this guy. I love this talent. He is so much fun to watch, but I am not betting my chips on him.
Yeah, once again, man, like I love Dez Bryant. I think he's a ton of fun. I hope he's healthy. The league is certainly better when he's out there playing. I am not drafting him under any circumstances. I would much rather have those other caliber wide receivers on my team and roll with them, because foot surgeries, three in a 6 month span here, 7 month span, that's very, very worrisome for me.
I really don't want my wide receiver one getting bone grafts in his foot.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not a good situation.
Sorry, Dez. And by the way, Tony Romo, you know, got a Play-Doh collarbone. Yeah. I don't care what you got going on.
No, man. They put like a steel beam or something in there.
That's a problem.
He's got adamantium in his collarbone.
This is the team that cut what's-his-face for a backup quarterback. They have got – who is their backup quarterback now? Oh, my gosh. I got to look that up. Let what's-his-face go. The old Cleveland Brown. Brady Quinn's gone. Come on, what are they going to do?
Brady Quinn was not on the team last year. It was Brandon Whedon.
The other Cleveland Brown.
Yeah. Brady, I believe Brady Quinn is on college football telecasts.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think Brandon Whedon flashbacks, man. I've got to look up the Cowboys. You can't. This is a great.
All right. Question. So, Hard Knocks with the Rams.
Terrible. Jeez. Freaking Jeff Fisher.
I mean, I can't.
Kellen Moore.
I can't.
Kellen Moore.
Yeah. They love Kellen Moore. I can't wait to see Jeff Fisher up close. That's just what I'll say is.
Oh, I didn't know that, Chris.
I need to know how you milk a job that you're not good at for this long. That's high paying.
It's the rugged good looks, according to Farrell.
I don't think that I'll have to ask around with
is that what
I'll have to show women a headshot of Jeff.
What I heard. I heard it's the rugged good looks. It does great for ticket sales. Okay. What has he got? 4 winning seasons? 5?
I mean, he has more than that because he's been in the league for like 25 years. It's not many. Still barely over 500. Anyway, because of this, does Todd Gurley go number one in certain situations? Is basically what I was segueing to for this.
Yeah. Gurley is, he's the second, third running back going most drafts now.
But I think he might creep up to number one because of Hard Knocks. And Tavon Austin, too, I think is good. There's going to be good things happening for him because of this show. Well, they're going to be flattering angles of Tavon Austin. I'll put it that way. That's just what Hard Knocks does.
He's been over 500 6 times in 21 years.
So, wow, that's great.
And 4 of those, I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, 4 of those predate 2003, 13 years ago.
He's so bad.
So 2 in the last 13 years. I'm sorry, Jeff Fisher, I'm sorry, man. There are parts of you I like, but you've killed some franchises. Killed them.
FYI, I'm probably changing your Twitter avatar to that picture of Jeff Fisher from the coaches meetings where he's like front and center. And he's got his arm around. I can't remember who, but it's just, it's too much, man. He knows how bad he is. He knows he's living on borrowed time. He knows he's made a lot of money and he's loving it. And the other thing is I think that the Rams defense is going to be out of control getting drafted.
Yeah, this is a shame. Todd Gurley, jeepers creepers.
I think he's going to be fine for the record, but I think he's going to be the first running back off the
board. He's going to limit his touchdowns, man.
We'll see. Jimmy Graham, status uncertain for week 1, patella injury. I think Jimmy's a stay away. I think he gets dropped during the course of the year, and maybe you pick him up for the stretch run.
You think so? I do not. I'm okay with drafting him in spots.
You want to – okay, so his injury was not as severe as this guy, but you want to know – I'm sniffing this out, and you didn't listen to me last year, but this reminds me of a Victor Cruz thing, man.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Good injury. This isn't as bad as Victor Cruz, but the patella is not a good injury.
Yeah, it leads to other problems with your leg, and then they have another problem. So, no, I know. It's a high-risk, high-upside, speculative pick. In the middle of your drafts, in my opinion.
It's very important for Jimmy Graham to take as a lot of time coming back from this. If he pushes, that can really lead to a lot of other injuries. And that's what happened with Victor Cruz. Cruz should have been shooting for like week 6 this year to come back, give himself a full year. And I think Jimmy, you're talking about the same thing where the pup list is a great thing for him.
Now, Jimmy, I know you're listening. I know you're a subscriber. So come on, man. Listen to Chris's advice here, man.
How about Pete Carroll after cutting this guy last year, talking about how Christine Michael is going to form a 1-2 punch with Thomas Rawls?
What is going on? That's just all that. That's all that fun stuff that they want to get people to talk about. So I don't buy into that a lot. And Christine Michael is still not even on my rankings.
If this gets Thomas Rawls to fall at all, it's great news.
Oh, that's right. That's a good point. Maybe we should talk it up, but we're just not unethical enough. Darn it.
At the coaches' meetings, Sean Payton talked about Kobe Fleener and what he does well and utilizing what he does well, which I thought was great news because Kobe Fleener is a terrible blocker. And that means that they're just going to throw the ball to him.
They are. I think this is fascinating to me. This is one of those value guys still right now. There are people that are down on him and they think, he's not a good tight end. The Colts knew what they were doing. I'm like, I don't care if he's an average tight end. If Drew Brees throws 110 targets at him, sign me up at the right round. That's a great buy.
He's not Jimmy Graham.
No. He's a very good pass catcher.
Let's stop pretending like he is. But I think he can produce 85% of the numbers that Jimmy Graham put up, which is still a very safe tight end one.
He can match Benjamin Watson. Let's put it that way.
Hey, your Dolphins, you're having conversations with lots of teams about trading for potential running backs. Isn't that great?
That's great. I don't know who they're going to get, but let's just keep in mind who their general manager and Mr. Tannenbaum, who did such an awesome job with the Jets and Rex Ryan, is now helping steer the Dolphins into the blue waters.
Mm-hmm. So
we suck.
I mean, for the record, they could have just kept Olivier Vernon, and I think his tender was like $7 million which was less than they paid Mario Williams. And no team would have signed him because they wouldn't want to have given up the second round pick. And he would have hit free agency next year, basically. They could have done that, but they didn't. And they might have had a little bit more money to, you know, re-sign Lamar Miller or you know, give C.J. Anderson a little bit of a better contract so Denver doesn't re-sign him. I don't think this has been a banner offseason for the Dolphins.
It's been another horrible year, and let's keep in mind, we hitched our wagon to Jordan Cameron having a comeback at tight end and Mario Williams being a serviceable defensive end, and we let young players like Olivier go and Lamar Miller go without getting anything back, which is always something you and I talk about. You can't keep everybody, but when you can and you're in position, just like you said, do something so that you either get an advantage 1 year on a bargain of the player before he leaves the next year for nothing, or get something when he leaves. The Dolphins and Mr. Tannenbaum were successful on going 0-2 on both those players.
I saved the
Reggie
last...
Bush.
I saved. Gosh. He was good for Miami.
He would be terrible this year. Terrible.
Well, yeah. I mean, once again, I feel
good. I'm sorry for interrupting you. I keep interrupting you, but the Dolphins are so. You know, if Reggie Bush plays for the Dolphins, it'll be week two. I can see it now. He's going to run into a Miami Dolphin cheerleader and break his elbow.
I feel bad that I don't want the last Reggie Bush moment to be him tearing his knee out on that stupid track.
Cheerleader injury.
I'd prefer him not to have a cheerleader injury either. Maybe a semi-productive final season would be nice for Reggie. He's a nice guy. He's a nice guy. He deserves better.
I know he does. I'm being a stupid jerk. If they sign like Steven Jackson, I'm going to spend the entire season with my Dolphin jersey inside out. I'm going to do something. That's the type of player team I'm on. Like, oh, we signed Steven Jackson. He's a perfect complement to Jay Ajayi.
Ndamukong Suh can probably play.
That's a better idea. Yeah. That's a better idea.
I saved this last note just for you, Bob. I saved Kiki it.
Alonso.
I kept it last because I knew you would
Thanks,
love it so
Chris.
Much.
Thanks.
Ben McAdoo says that Andre Williams, quote, can make a jump this year.
most long-term listeners know I've been kind of a fan of Andre Williams. And I get excited about every year once he has one. Like, if he has seven good carries in a game, I'm like, okay, time to pick him up. This is great. Or I draft him in the 20th round, 29th round, yeah. Let me just be clear after 3 years. He is in great shape. He is a good guy in the locker room.
Great.
He is a good player for his teammates, and he is a pretty poor running back.
Yeah. Yeah. 3.2 yards per carry. Career. And you say that you take him in the 20th round.
Yeah.
I've done almost every single draft that you've done.
Okay,
with you.
16.
Yeah, so you, I'm just telling the listeners that starting in round 10,
there will be
like five running backs, and he'll be like one of the first ones you point to, and I'm just like, I can't even deal with this right now.
It's true.
How did we get here? We're going to lose this league because you're pointing at Andre Williams in the 10th round. This is
bad. I'm cured of him. Okay. I am. I totally don't believe in him because I think he is all of those things. So now I believe my problem was I said, oh, he's really got all the immeasurables and great shape and can do all kinds of things. And I love his physicality. I do. I love all that stuff. He just doesn't know how to avoid people wearing different colors than he is.
Yeah. Well, he likes to run into contact, which is kind of bad in the NFL. You should run away from contact.
The NFL doesn't work like in college. That's right.
Unless you're just running in a short yardage situation, I guess it's okay to run into contact because you only need a half yard or whatever. But other situations, it's bad. I think what we need to do is I need to kind of zero in on, you know, these 15 guys that you're irrational about, and we can have a fantasy exorcism at Sergio's before some drafts.
That's a great line.
Yeah.
Fantasy exorcisms. And then we can help other fans. They can send us, please exercise so-and-so for me. Like right now as a rookie, Kelvin Taylor, Fred Taylor's young son, man, I think I have him ranked better than anybody in the entire North America.
It's hilarious. Just because you liked Fred Taylor.
Yep.
I mean, Sergio's Brazilian. You probably know something that we don't about, you know, kind of mind cleansing.
Yes.
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Figure it out.
But yeah, we'll have to, make notes, notice some of these guys, and we'll figure it out. But all right. Anything else, Bob?
Just a massive thanks for those. Keep those subscriptions going and rankings. And also a special thanks today for Chris ending on the wonderful Miami Dolphins and not mentioning Kiki Alonso. Mm-hmm. And then wrapping up with Alfred Williams. Thank you, Chris.
Andre Williams.
Andre Williams. Alfred. Same player on a different side of the ball.
Sure. Yeah, I'm saving Kiko Alonso for later. At All Purpose Roto, allpurposeroto@gmail.com. If you want to send us a question, we'll answer it during the off season here. Can't wait for the draft, man. We'll if you have not heard our NFL draft show, we have some fun with that one. I think that's one of our favorite shows to do of the entire year. So I know we're both pretty amped about that one.
Yep. Good deal.
Thanks, guys. See you soon.
Thanks.